The former Labour Prime Minister Tony Blair is urging voters to put Brexit at the centre of this election campaign. He came into the studio a short while ago and I first asked him whether, as a former Prime Minister, he thought Theresa May had called this snap election because she was sure of a landslide.
At the moment on the polls, it would look like a landslide majority. And that's why the absolutely central question of this election is less to do with who's Prime Minister on June the 9th and more to do with what is the nature of the mandate. And in particular, because otherwise, frankly, this is a steamroller election, is it possible that we can return as many members of Parliament as possible to Parliament that are going to keep an open mind on this Brexit negotiation until they see the final terms?
Why? What do you think a landslide would mean for Brexit?
Because the line that Theresa May and the Tory party are pursuing is to say she's got to have her hands strengthened for this negotiation. And it's actually a very reasonable thing to say to the British people. What is essential to realise, however, is that she has already tied her hand in this negotiation because she's taken off the table the one thing that undoubtedly would be best for British industry and British trade, which is membership of the single market.
Well, of course, because otherwise you can't control immigration.
Yes, but then you've got to analyse what are the balancing factors between the control of immigration and the loss of business and jobs and living standards if you don't even seek membership of the single market. People are saying she should have a strong hand in this negotiation, but people are looking at that as if all the options are on the table. No, she has taken off the table the single best option for Britain, which is continued membership of the single market and the customs union. Plus, she is saying, whatever the deal, no matter how bad, or even if there is no deal, she will pursue Brexit at any cost. And therefore, what this election needs is a new dimension in it, because otherwise, frankly, we're just going to literally roll through the next few weeks. It needs a new dimension where we put would-be candidates and MPs under pressure to say, are you going to back Brexit at any cost, or are there circumstances in which you're prepared to say this deal is not in the interest of the country?
And what's the point of that?
The point of that is to make sure that you live to argue for when we actually get to the Brexit negotiation, because
To get more of the MPs who say, no, I won't sign up to anything.
Yes, and to get them to commit, even if they're Conservative MPs, frankly, to get them to commit to keeping an open mind.
And if they won't?
And if they won't, then the voters can take that into account when making their decision.
Would you vote against somebody who wouldn't sign up to that?
I personally couldn't support somebody in an election who was going to say, I'm just going to sign up to Brexit at any cost. Now, that's not actually the position of the Labour Party, but leave that to one side. This is something that is bigger than party allegiance in this particular election.
Are you saying that you want people only to vote for those candidates who'll sign up to the principles that you've talked about?
Personally, I think it's important that voters know, at least before they come to back these candidates, where do they stand on this issue? Because otherwise, be under no doubt about it, Theresa May's got lots of reasonable policies. Theresa May, by the way, is a reasonable person. But on Brexit, she's pursuing an unreasonable policy. And that is a policy driven by the right of the Tory party, by that small group of old men who control the media cartel on the right in this country, and who are absolutely determined, Brexit first, foremost, paramount, above everything else. Now, I think a large majority in the country actually want her to have a strong hand in an open negotiation. In other words, where everything's on the table and where we look at it at the end of this negotiation and say, this is good, is it not good? What's the trade-off between
the two? But you know where this leads. You're one of the most politically astute people around. This is advocating tactical voting, isn't it?
Well, it's not advocating it. It's simply saying the voters should at least... It's up to them what they do. And I'm not going to advocate people vote tactically. But what I'm saying is they should know... They should vote on an informed basis on this issue.
How will you vote?
And I mean, I'll vote Labour. I've always voted Labour. But the fact is, and there are many excellent Labour candidates throughout the country. But that's not the point for me. The point for me is whether I'm Labour or I'm not Labour, even if there's Conservatives or Liberal Democrats, I'll work with anyone to get this argument across in the country.
The Liberal Democrat leader, Tim Farron, has said today, if you want to prevent hard Brexit, want to prevent us leaving the single market, if you actually want to give us, the British people, a final say on the terms of this yes unknown deal, vote for us. You could agree with that, couldn't you?
Well, I wouldn't agree vote for him, but I mean, he's perfectly capable of mounting his own case. And the Liberal Democrat position on Brexit is, in my view, a position that actually many people in the Labour Party would support as well.
Should they do so in seats like Vauxhall, where the sitting Labour MP is in favour of Brexit?
I'm not going to get into commenting on the Labour campaign. I'm not getting into commenting on tactical voting. I'm just making one basic argument, and I'm prepared to make it with anyone else who cares about the interests of this country. Let me just return to one point, by the way, on freedom of movement, because this is really, really important. You see, I understand completely why Theresa May says, well, we can't be in the single market because that would mean we have to have freedom of movement from Europe. But this is what we should be doing at this point in time. We should be analysing what is our actual problem with EU immigration. Because when you break down the figures, over half the immigration into this country is from outside the EU. Of that part that's from the EU, start breaking it down into segments. A large part of people who come here with a job to go to. We're going to be wanting those people in any event. You know, there are 10,000 doctors from the EU here. We're not going to be wanting those people to go, and we need people to fulfil some of these positions within the health service, within the private sector.
Do you regret, under your government, they were allowed in? Most of the rest of the European Union didn't allow people from the new Eastern European countries in. Didn't you create this problem?
Look, you know, people often say this, and then when you look at the figures, you realise that even if you'd applied these transitional arrangements, the bulk of people came in after those transitional arrangements ended. And in any event, it was a completely different situation then. When you break these figures down, you realise most of the immigration doesn't come from the EU. Of the immigration that comes from the EU, as I say, you've got people who come here looking for a job. You've got students. You've got the dependents. You're actually talking about a small fraction of EU immigration, never mind the whole of the immigration. So, for example, if you were Prime Minister at the moment and really wanted to do the best for the country, you'd say, well, actually, one option we'll put on the table is continued membership of the Single Market and Customs Union, because 50% of our trade is with these people. But we want to go back into a negotiation with you guys in Europe to see if we can deal with some of the problems we've got arising from that. Now, I know David Cameron did that in his negotiation, but you'll be doing this post a referendum. A strengthened hand to do that, I understand. But that's an option that's not even on the table.
Doesn't Labour have a huge problem, Labour in particular, about immigration? Because a lot of traditional Labour voters do want immigration from the European Union controlled, it seems.
Yes, but, you know, I think, look, I fought my last election on immigration in 2005. I understand the immigration arguments completely. I understand people's anxiety. I personally think their anxiety is actually more to do with people who may not share our culture or values who come into our country. I don't really think it's primarily to do with European immigration.
But it's been expressed about European immigration.
Yeah, but here's what we've got to explain to people. If these polls are right and she gets this landslide, it is a landslide victory that she will take as a mandate for a hard Brexit or a Brexit at any cost, plus a mandate for all the other things the Conservatives are going to do. So on the health service, on education, whatever different issue it is. So what this election has got to be about, because if the polls are right, frankly, it is likely that we know what will be the situation on June the 9th. It's got to be about what mandate are we giving this government? And at this moment in time, it is, in my view, so dangerous that even as this steamrollers over the British landscape, that there's sufficient numbers of people who stand up in front of it and say, hang on a minute, we want to know the direction the steamroller is going in.
I'm still not sure exactly what this means in practice. And, you know, we can be frank about this. You don't want screaming headlines that say Tony Blair says vote Lib Dem. I do. But let's set that to one side. That what you're advocating would, in a lot of cases, mean people would vote for the Liberal Democrats.
Well, what I'm advocating may mean that. It may mean people vote Labour. It may mean, by the way, that they vote Tory for candidates who are prepared to give this commitment. What I'm saying is actually very, very simple. It's that in every constituency, if you care about this issue, we are going to provide a sufficient amount of pressure that candidates are forced to say where they stand on this question, on what is the mandate that she is getting to negotiate with on Brexit.
So you would back a campaign like that of Gina Miller, the woman who took the Article 50 to the Supreme Court, who wants to go round constituencies getting that message across, getting that question put to candidates.
I back all the campaigns that there's Best for Britain, there's Open Britain, there's Scientists for Europe, there's a whole set of campaigns. There's the European Movement, which is a very old and august body. There's masses of people who are going to be trying to do the same thing. And if you're somebody who, not just if you're somebody who voted Remain, by the way, but if you're somebody who maybe a Leave voter, but you've already seen the disintegration of many of the promises that accompanied that Leave campaign, and you think, yeah, OK, I understand why it's good for her to have a strong hand going into this negotiation, but hang on, are we giving her a blank check, which is a different thing altogether, and actually the terms of that are going to be written by the most ardent Brexiteers and not by the more moderate, sensible people, then I think those people additionally will be entitled to take that into account. Now, there may
be
other reasons.
So some people will say, here he goes again, the Ramona-in-chief.
Yeah, but, you know, these people haven't yet delivered the terms of Brexit. I understand that we've voted to leave. And even though I think there are massive geopolitical reasons in the 21st century why Britain should be part of Europe, and I feel so sad for future generations that they're going to be excluded from the European Union, I have to accept we voted in that way. But the question is, did we vote for Brexit at any cost? And are we entitled to change our minds if, when we see the final deal, we say, you know what, we've looked at this. This is now not a claim. It's not a hypothesis. It's not a someone saying this, someone saying that. It's actually, we know what the terms are.
So we are
fighting for the right of the British people to take a final concluded view of this once they see the terms. If
the
you
Labour
think
Party
about
has
that, that's common
that.
Sense.
3 days ago, the Labour Party said the idea of a second referendum wasn't backed by them and wouldn't be in the manifesto.
Yeah,
is that a mistake?
Well, look, I'm not totally sure what the position of the Labour Party is, because I think it is that they will hold the government to account, and that they don't back Brexit at any cost, that it's an issue of what's the best deal for Britain. So, frankly, issues to do with second referendums, they're second-order questions. The first-order question is, are we going to be free if, when we see this, we think, well, I don't think that makes sense. You know, you have this steamroller coming down the track at us, but we're entitled to say, no, come on, let's think about this, and let's force those people who look likely to come in with a large majority after June the 8th, let's force them to be open with us as to exactly what it is they're asking a mandate for.
Do you feel frustrated about getting your message across? Let me tell you a little story. After your last big speech, I was with a group of people, nothing to do with politics, they were scientists, and several of them said to me, I really can't stand him because of Iraq, but I agree with him absolutely on this. Do you feel you're the right person to be making this case?
You know, I'm always asked this, and what I always say to people is, I have the faintest idea, maybe not, but the fact is someone's got to, and I feel so passionate about this. I mean, I feel for the first time since I first came into politics, I look at the British political scene at the moment, and I actually almost feel motivated to go right back into it.
Really?
Because I just feel we're just allowing ourselves to be hijacked by what is actually quite a small group of people with a very strong ideology. I agree that someone like Theresa May, you know, you look at her, she's very sensible, she's very solid, she's a perfectly decent person. I agree with a lot of what she says. She says about energy costs today, most people would say, yeah, fair enough. But on this issue, which is the biggest issue of our time, and which will have a dramatic impact on our future, on our economy, on our living standards, and on the younger people of this country, on this issue, she's not reasonable.
Well, I'm sure that the Labour Party still has some vacant seats that they could put you up into. Do you fancy really going back into politics?
Well, I tell you what I fancy. I fancy doing whatever I can to at least make this debate in the election into a proper debate, so that, you know, we can read the polls. I mean, look, how long have you been doing this for? 25, 30 years, right?
Yeah.
And I've been over 30 years in politics. I've never known polls like this.
Finally, you've been inside Number 10 for a long time. You know the weight, the difficulty of that office, of being the Prime Minister of our country. Who is better suited to that office? May, Corbyn, Farron?
Because I've said I'm not going to get into the discussion of the campaign, I'm not even going to get into that discussion. And I'm basing my my statements about the campaign really on, I'm just saying, if the poll's right, I'm not saying they should be right, I'm not saying they are right. I'm just saying, if they're right, frankly, that is not the dominant question in this campaign. The dominant question is, what's the mandate that Theresa May is going to claim on June the 9th?
Tony Blair. Closing headlines from...